Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of The Flatline, F-L-O-T. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. I'd like to invite you to stick around for a few minutes. I promise we won't bore you. We're not going to solicit money. We're not going to ask you to join anything. This radio show is simply to give you some accurate information that will help you verify as well as identify what God's plan for your life is. And if you want to orient and adjust to that plan, then you're free to do so. You're a free American. You have the right to do what you want to do. My job is to be accurate, to give you good, accurate information. Your job is to process that information, figure out what you're going to do with it, because God gave us two ends. That's right, two ends, one you sit on and one you think with. And success in your life and my life depends on which one of those we use. Heads, we'll win. Tails, well, we're going to lose. So the Bible is very clear that we have to learn God's plan. In 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a wonderful verse to tell us that we got to grow up. We've got to learn how to function in the plan. One cannot understand God unless he is able to concentrate. I mean, any child with attention deficit disorder has a hard time concentrating on a single subject, and many Christians have the same inability to pay attention, to focus, to concentrate, because they got so many things going on in their life. You know, if I could talk to you from my heart and just be honest with you, I remember when I accepted Christ as my Savior. It was the summer of 1967, and I wasn't thinking about much of anything except girls and cars and football and stuff that ordinary teenagers think about. I was a young man. I was 22 at the time, so I wasn't exactly a teenager. I had been to the University of Alabama on a football scholarship and abandoned that scholarship, walked away and quit after my first year, which was a pretty dumb thing to do. I had the talent and the ability to play, but I didn't have the mental attitude to stick with it. And I got into sort of a frantic search for happiness, trying to find it in all the wrong places. And eventually, I dated a young lady who took me to church, and eventually after church, I met a man who gave the gospel to me, and I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I prayed that night. I asked God to save me. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't understand the whole deal, what was going on. Maybe you've done this in your life. I knew nothing about the Bible. I didn't even own a Bible. I mean, I knew it was black. I mean, everybody had a black Bible. I thought it was black. But I didn't know anything about it, and I didn't know what was in store for me. I had no idea what I needed to learn, and no idea of what I needed to do with my life, and I wasn't even thinking about those things. I was just thinking about what happened to me and telling my friends about what happened to me, and was able to lead a couple of my friends to Christ that were ball players that played with me and noticed a difference in my life. I had to make some decisions about education, and I did go back to school, went back to a Bible college, began to get involved with Youth for Christ International. And the next thing that I knew, I was giving my testimony or telling people how I got saved and something about my background. And I did not know that that was going to lead into a life of being in the ministry. I did not know I had the spiritual gift of evangelism. I did not know anything. I was being drugged along by various Christians who had various ideas about what I should and shouldn't do. Most of them I didn't like. It wasn't me, you know. Have you ever had anybody try to fit you into a mold that you don't belong into? And I can remember going on a couple of young conferences with evangelists telling me I needed to go out on a street corner and pass out tracts and tell people they're going to hell if they don't believe in Christ. And I didn't get along with that. And I can just remember a lot of things that people told me, if you're going to be a good Christian now, son, you just can't do those things anymore. And like what? Well, I can't do this, can't do that. And I said, well, what can you do? Well, you can go bowling and sing in the choir. Well, I don't like to bowl and I can't sing, so that didn't sound like much of an exciting Christian life to me. And I remember so many things that happened where people disowned me because they didn't like that I didn't fit into their parameters. I didn't do the things they wanted me to do. And one of those things was that I was so confused about what the Christian life should be. I knew I was saved. I knew I was a Christian, and I wanted to experience everything about it that I could. But I didn't understand, and I got a lot of different viewpoints about do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Maybe you've been through that in your life. Maybe if you sat down right now and took a piece of paper and you had to write, what does it take to be a successful Christian for God? You couldn't do it, because I could not at that time. I didn't have any idea whatsoever. Well, I had a Bible, and I would read the Bible, and I read the book of John, and I identified some things in there that sounded like me. It seemed like they applied to my life. But I just didn't understand the Christian life and how it functioned, how it worked. It was over a year after I had become a Christian that I got under the ministry of a great pastor. And that individual began to teach me the Word of God in a very firm, stern manner. He didn't put up with any nonsense. He said, if you're going to learn the Word of God, I like the way we put it today. It was just like show up, shut up, and fake it till you make it. I think that's a military term. Show up, shut up, and fake it till you make it. So I started an intense Bible study under this pastor. Studying every night with a Bible, notebook, writing notes down, things I encourage you to do. This is exactly what I want you to do. I want you to listen, learn, and apply into your life, and that's what I had to do. And as I began to grow, I experienced all kind of testing, all kind of pressure. I failed in many areas, and I look back on it and think, that's amazing. God had a great sense of humor, because if he didn't, I probably would have been a greasy spot already. And I bet you some of you are like that as well. Thank goodness you're not a greasy spot yet. God still has a plan for your life. So I had to learn how to deal with people. I had to learn how to deal with circumstances. I had to learn how to live the Christian life. No one had told me when I got saved and I went back to college, I went to Bible college, no one told me anything about the spiritual life. They just said, here's the Bible, learn what's in this book, and here's Obadiah, here's Jeremiah, here's Isaiah, here's Ezekiel, here's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, here's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Well, okay, what's in it? What am I supposed to do with it? And so I began to eventually sit under this well-qualified pastor who taught the ICE technique, I-C-E. That's a good way of explaining it, ICE. It stands for isagogical, categorical, exegetical teaching. Isagogical, categorical, exegetical teaching. And that means that if we took a verse like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that we would develop each line word by word for God. Gar theos. Theos is the Greek word for God. So loved, agapao, the Greek word for love. The world, cosmos. And as you begin to study like that, you go line by line, word by word, verse by verse, and then you develop categories, the doctrine of God, the doctrine of love, the doctrine of the world. This is the way my pastor taught me. Then it didn't take long for me to start filling up notebooks and filling up pages of my Bible, learning these various doctrines which made up the framework to my spiritual life even today. So as we learned these things and applied these things, I began to understand that you can't live the Christian life on your own. I began to understand that God, the Holy Spirit, was given to us to assist us in living the Christian life. He's even called, as the Lord Jesus Christ called him, a tutor or a mentor for us. No one had told me that in the Bible college I went to. No one told me I needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, like Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. No one told me that. No one told me Galatians 5:16, the flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit wars against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other, so that you can't do the things that you want to do. I didn't hear any of that. I just had this battle. I was just wrestling with myself, even though I was a Christian, even though I knew I was going to heaven. I knew I was doing some things that weren't right. Paul put it this way. He said, I don't understand myself at all in Romans 7:15, because he said, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't like are the things that I do. And he said, it's obvious that it's sin in me. So I didn't understand that even though I was a Christian, that I still had a sinful nature. Do you know that about yourself? Even though you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you still have a flesh. You still have a sinful nature. That's why the Bible says we battle against the world and the flesh and the devil. And most people never get past the flesh. They don't even get to deal with the devil. And most people have a misconception about the devil to begin with, thinking that he's omnipresent in a lot of different places at one time, and he's not. He's a created being. He's a fallen angel, and he can't be in America and in England at the same time. He can only be one place at one time. And 99% sure he's not knocking on your door, I guarantee you. There are other fallen angels called demons, and we call them demons, and they spread the doctrine of demons. And this is what Satan is really good at, spreading misinformation. And I got some misinformation to begin with, but as I began to wise up and listen to my pastor and learn God's word and identify the misinformation, I began to move away from that legalism that people were trying to draw me into. You know, you can't be a Christian, you can't smoke, you can't be a Christian, you can't dance, you can't be a Christian, and you can't go to anything but a G-rated movie. And I never understood all of that. So I understood eventually that my Christian life is not based on what I do or don't do. My Christian life is based on if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and growing in God's grace. So at any one time in my life, I was either spiritual or carnal, same as you. Right now, as you're listening to me, you're either spiritual or you're carnal. You're either in fellowship with God or you're out of fellowship with God. There's no in between. Well, what makes you out of fellowship with God is obvious. It's sin. Sin takes you out of fellowship with God. When we sin, we break that rapport we have with God. We quench the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit. And we have to confess that sin, which is problem-solving device number one on the flatline of your soul. Rebound. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. I had to learn how to rebound and rebound a lot because I still dealt with many issues. Even though I was saved, even though I was a Christian, all my bad habits didn't go away. All my bad temperament didn't go away. I had to grow in the grace and the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just like you have to do the same thing. So finally, by getting under this great pastor and beginning to study God's word line by line, word by word, under the ICE technique, isagogical, categorical, exegetical, I began to put together the framework of biblical doctrines in my soul that sustained me and helped me to grow spiritually. Because I had no idea I was an evangelist. I had no idea I would have a life of traveling and speaking and giving the gospel. And it started with me going to many, many schools in West Virginia and speaking. And from there to Mississippi and speaking in over 400 schools in 2 years. And from there to Georgia, speaking in another couple of hundred schools in a year. And God began to shape and form and mold my ministry of talking to teenagers in what we call spiritual emphasis weeks. Now, Satan's really good at stopping this. He doesn't want anybody in the public arena to get any information. And so the public arena has been shut down, but there are a lot of private schools, and I'm not talking about Christian schools. I'm just talking about academies where there may be 200 to 500 students. That door is still open, and that's a door I've been able to go through for many, many years and taught many, many teenagers the Word of God and what God expects out of them. And this is something that I had to come to. God only uses prepared people. If I wasn't prepared, I could have never had that opportunity. And you'd be surprised how many people I spoke to that told me I was goofy. How many people I would speak to that would try to straighten me out. And you know what? They were not lost people. They were not unbelievers. They were all Christians. They were all Christians that took offense. Christians that didn't like the way I said it. Christians that said, no, you can't do it that way. No, you can't do it that way. My church, we teach it this way. In my church, we teach it that way. I've never seen so much confusion and controversy in organized religion in my life. Maybe you're like that. Maybe you don't understand exactly what you're supposed to do or not supposed to do. I was talking with a young man today on the telephone who had been reading a book about some woman who claimed she was the bride of Satan. And he actually believed that junk. And I went, are you kidding me? Oh, no, no. She was the bride of Satan. I said, where do you get that? Satan didn't ever marry anybody in the Bible or marry anybody in the Old Testament, anybody in the New Testament. She's just claiming that so she can sell you the book. How much you pay for the book? Oh, $20. Well, are you out of your mind? People have no idea what's real and what's not real, what's legitimate and not legitimate. Until you get a framework of biblical doctrine in your soul. And that's why we teach you the Flatline. We teach you the Flatline to give you a framework of biblical doctrine in your soul. Once you understand rebound, once you understand the filling of the Holy Spirit, once you understand the faith rest drill, once you understand grace orientation, once you understand doctrinal orientation, once you understand your personal sense of destiny, once you understand what personal love for God is and impersonal love for others, what that is, and then you come to understand how you share the happiness of God and eventually what it means to be occupied with Christ. If you build that resonance of doctrine in your soul, then you have a framework for a successful Christian life. By the way, we have a new book out called Christian Problem Solving. And it lists every one of these that I just mentioned on the radio shows that I've taught in the past. It's all the different transcripts that I've taught regarding these things. And you can order it today free, no charge whatsoever. Just go through the website, rickhughesministries.org, rickhughesministries.org, and order Christian Problem Solving, and we'll send it straight to you free of charge. But you need to understand this biblical framework, so that you can have the right idea of what you should and shouldn't do as a Christian, because so many people don't understand the will of God. So many people don't understand that there's something He wants you to think, there's something He wants you to do, and there's some place He wants you to be. God has a geographical will for your life. He wants you to be someplace. There's something that He wants you to do. He gave you a spiritual gift, and that's what I didn't understand. I had to learn what my spiritual gift was. It was the gift of evangelism. Well, then I had to learn how to present the gospel accurately. With all the social media that goes on today, I am convinced there is a tremendous amount of satanic infiltration into the minds of young people through social media. And what's going on is a lot of Christians are on social media spewing a lot of false information. Oh, they spew little devotional thoughts and things like that, but when it comes to living the Christian life, again, I've talked with several people that said, well, I heard a guy on YouTube and he said I should do this. I heard a preacher on YouTube and he said I should do that. People are totally confused. And Satan uses this to confuse the issue of spirituality. You know, there's a difference between being saved, which is salvation, and living the Christian life, which is spirituality. And at any one moment of time in your life, you're going to be spiritual or you're going to be carnal. Right now, you are either spiritual or carnal. Now, Billy Graham, bless his heart, he's in heaven with the Lord, but he cannot be any more spiritual than you. He could not be that. If he was filled with the Holy Spirit and you were filled with the Holy Spirit, then you're both spiritual. And you're both saved the same way. So if your pastor is filled with the Holy Spirit and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're both spiritual. But that's not all there is to the Christian life. You go from spirituality to maturity. Your pastor may be a lot more mature than you, spiritually speaking. Well, what's that related to? That's related to the biblical framework of doctrine in his soul. He has more of the Word of God stored in his soul than you do. Well, what is his soul? It's his mentality. It's his volition. It's his consciousness and his self-consciousness. And as he's learned the Word of God and stored that into the framework of his soul, then he's more mature than you. So if he has 1,000 cc's of Bible doctrine in his soul and you have 100 cc's of Bible doctrine in your soul, there's the difference right there. Now, the Christian life is not designed for you to run to the preacher every time you have a problem. That's not the way you glorify God. You can't glorify God letting somebody else make your decisions for you. You have to learn God's Word and apply God's Word in your own life and glorify God with your decisions you make for yourself. If there's something you don't understand, I'm sure your pastor can give you a good answer. But eventually, you have to be able to answer it yourself because he's not the one being tested. You are the one being tested. You are the one that Satan will attempt to distract. You are the one that Satan will attempt to discourage. And you are the one that Satan will attempt to defeat. How does he do that? Well, you get your eyes on yourself, or you get your eyes on people, or you get your eyes on circumstances. And all of a sudden, everything becomes foggy and chaos and confusion. and you won't do the right thing because you don't even know what the right thing is. And so you just collapse on the floor in a puddle and cry, and why, God, let all these things happen to me? I can hear you now. Why is God letting this happen to me? Don't you know the Bible says all things work together for good to those who love God? That's your virtue, love. Those who love God and are called according to a predetermined plan. Through Christ Jesus, God called you. He has a plan for your life. And do you love Him? Yeah, I love God. People tell me that all the time. I love God, really. Well, 1 John 5:3 says, if you love me, you'll obey me, and my mandates are not grievous. They're not hard. If you love God, you will obey God, and you will obey what the Scripture tells you to do. And it's a lot more than the Ten Commandments, I promise you. There are well over 400 commandments in the Old Testament, Codex 1, Codex 2, Codex 3, and you're just talking about the Ten Commandments. Now we have a new law of love in Christ Jesus. And what do you do with that? Do you even know about that? So, the Christian life is a complicated life of learning the procedure that God has for you to live. But listen to what I'm about to tell you. God's plan is called grace, and the protocol plan of God must be learned and must be executed. If you don't believe me, why would it say study to show yourself approved unto God? If you don't believe me, why would it say grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? If you don't believe me, why did Jesus say, take my yoke on you and learn of me? Learn, study, grow. These are all verbs that mean you must grow spiritually as a Christian. However, Satan has a plan also. His plan is called evil in the Bible. Evil. And it's full of human good, which is a distortion of divine good. And Satan has a college that he teaches people his plan. It's the college of the chaos world, the chaotic world. Here it is. It's like an octopus with all these tentacles going out. People have to learn how to be humanist. People have to learn how to be atheist. People have to learn how to be socialist. It's a lifestyle they have to learn. They don't know what it is until it gets taught to them. And when it's taught to them, then they say, okay, I believe that, I buy that, I'll do that. And they're learning from Satan. So just as God's plan has to be learned to be obeyed, Satan's plan has to be learned also. And he teaches it every day through the college of social media. But the biggest one, and this is where the biggest confusion comes in, is an organized religion. This is the number one ace in the hole for Satan. Organized religion. Misleading people into believing that they're doing God's will, or misleading people into believing that they're going to heaven. So you go down to this church and you join up and they say, hey, brother, we're glad to have you. Let's put you in the baptismal tank and you'll be saved. And so no one's even explained the gospel to you yet, how the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ was for you, how the Lord Jesus Christ paid for your sin on the cross, and whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They just dunk you under the water and give you an offering thing and say, here's your offering envelope. Now be sure and give us your tithe every month, and off you go. You don't learn anything. This is a critical issue in the church today. The Word of God is not being taught. And as a result, we have so much confusion and chaos in the Christian world. It's a fog of confusion. And if we have a man in the pulpit, a pastor in the pulpit, and he's only able to teach about 30 minutes on Sunday morning because you're worried about getting out of there and making it to the restaurant on time, how can you grow? You're not going to grow just going down there and showing up on Sunday morning and getting 30 minutes and checking your cell phone every few minutes to see what the score is on the ball game. You're crazy. Where do you think you're growing spiritually by doing that? It's not going to happen. So if you're serious about getting with it, that's why we do this radio show. That's why we offer this information. That's why we challenge you like this, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're not going to grow by singing praise songs. It's only going to come through time in the Word of God. And it's only going to come under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor. That's why God gave these men to you who have this gift, so that you don't wind up manufacturing all sorts of wood, hay, and stubble. And when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you can hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. What does that mean? It means you did the right thing in the right way. It means you understood it. That's what it took for me. I had to learn it. I had to apply it. I had to live it in my life. Learn it, apply it, and glorify God. And I didn't learn it by opening the Bible and putting it under my pillow at night in some sort of miasmos where it just transferred into my ears. It doesn't happen that way. Are you willing to learn? Are you willing to sit down under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor and let him teach you the Bible like an hour a day? Maybe 3 or 4 hours a week? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to get a notebook and a piece of paper and a pen and a cup of coffee and sit down at your table and listen as the Word of God is taught? See, if there's not a local pastor in your area doing this, I can sure tell you where there is one. I can tell you how you can tap into the resources free of charge, and you can study and grow in your own home, in your own living room, until God shows you where He wants you to be. But that's up to you. That's why I'm here, to challenge you with this, to give you this opportunity, to give you this information. That's why we take this step of faith and broadcast this radio show on faith at over 100 stations. That's why we print material and distribute it by faith, hundreds and hundreds of books and magazines and things that we distribute free of charge by faith. Hopefully to find you, one of you, two of you, three of you, that will grow to be mature believers and glorify Jesus Christ to the maximum. Because when you do that, then you are the one that will deliver this nation. Because as goes your spiritual life, so goes the history of the United States of America. We're counting on you to learn it and to use it. We're counting on you to replicate the life of Christ. We're counting on you to glorify God to the maximum by being the person God ordained you to be. But it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen with you sitting under an oak tree contemplating infinity. You're going to have to get with it and get into the Word and start growing. You want to do that? And get in touch with me. Let me know. I'll hook you up. I'll tell you where you can go to get it, and you can start your life in the way you want it to be. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline, F-L-O-T, The Flatline. This is your host, Rick Hughes. Welcome you every morning, every Sunday morning, same time, same place. We're always here to give you this information. Not speculation, not human speculation, biblical information that will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life, if in fact you're even interested in that. But if you are, you can orient and adjust to the plan once you listen to what I have to say. But you know, we don't hustle anybody. We're not trying to raise money. We're not trying to sell you something. We're not going to ask you to join anything. We would like to ask you to listen. Listen up. Just pay attention, because it's very critical times in which we live. It's always a great honor and a great privilege for me to bring this radio show to you. We're broadcasting in over 100 cities this morning across America, and what a great privilege it is, what a great challenge it is. And so thank you for a few minutes of your time. I promise I won't bore you. I love to fish. I don't know if you do, but I love to bass fish, and some of the most interesting times that I've had on the lake. I'm thinking about one in particular when I took a newspaper writer out that wanted to go fishing with me. Happened to be a foggy morning, and we were out on the lake in the fog, and this was pre-GPS days, before we got GPS on our bass boats. Today, we have depth finders that have GPS mapping systems, and even in the midst of a night, middle of the night, you can see where you are on your map, on your GPS, and follow your cursor back to the boat launch. But this was a really foggy day, and we got turned around in the fog. I tried to go from one side of the lake to the other and never made it. I mean, I got out of the middle of the lake and somehow wound up turning around and coming right back to the side I left from. And I thought I knew where I was going. And after that, I put a compass on the boat so that I could follow the compass heading. But fog is a really tough thing to navigate. I don't know if you've ever been out in a really thick fog at night with your headlights on shining bright. But there was a wreck that occurred back in 1990. Terrible, terrible wreck indeed. Between Chattanooga and Knoxville on Interstate 75, a road I've driven many times going up that way in that direction. And on this particular night, December the 11th, 1990, It was a series of multiple vehicle collisions causing by fog, terrible fog. 99 vehicles crashed into each other. 12 people killed, 42 people seriously injured in this fog. Because people wouldn't slow down, people pressing on in the fog, trying to get where they gotta go. And somebody said, "Why you gotta go?" He said, "Well, I gotta get back." Fog is horrible. In a serious fog issue, no one's safe to go speeding down the highway. No one's safe to assume there's no obstruction ahead. And that's what happened that night. People sped down I-75 towards Knoxville or towards Chattanooga, not thinking there was anything ahead that was wrong, and there was something wrong. It's also true that in heavy fog, bright lights don't work very well, do they? You know, you put on your bright lights, all you see is more fog. Thus, you have the need for lower-pointing fog lights on your car, your vehicle, your truck. Well, in Matthew 5:14, the Lord Jesus Christ tells those that are following him these words. He says, "You are the light of the world." You are the light of the world. And I want to emphasize you, Y-O-U. Wherever you are this morning, if you're listening to me, in whatever city you might be in, if it's in Albuquerque, if it's in Cheyenne, if it's in Dallas, if it's in Houston, if it's in Green Bay, if it's in Sacramento, San Francisco, Tampa, you, Y-O-U, not me, not your neighbor, you are the light of the world if you're a Christian. And your job is to illuminate the Lord Jesus Christ and point people to him. You have the same task today, except there is a heavy fog across this land that can quench your light. There is a heavy fog across this land that can quench your light. I want to talk to you about this fog and use it as an illustration, because I believe that America is in a serious fog right now. And I think the results would be catastrophic if we don't get off this road we're on and if we don't get to safety soon. I call it the cosmic system, the cosmos, the cosmic system, the devil's world. It operates best in the fog of confusion and the fog of chaos. And the longer that Satan can keep people confused and keep your light from penetrating the darkness, the more disillusioned and the more distracted people become. So let me give you the acronym for FOG, F-O-G, and talk about it. F stands for failure of leadership. O stands for open rebellion. And G stands for God's word being rejected. Failure of leadership, open rebellion, God's word being rejected. F-O-G. That's the fog across America that I'm talking about today. The F talks about failure of spiritual leadership and political leadership, and this failure is what got us in this condition to begin with. Many of our pastors that we put our faith and trust in are turning into performers. Of course, not all, but many are seeking to fill large auditoriums with emotional worship service, and they're not teaching mechanics. And so many, many believers, many Christians, just like yourself, never really learned the protocol plan of God. And that simply means that a right thing has to be done in a right way. That's why we teach the 10 problem-solving devices. That's part of the protocol plan of God, how you are to operate as a Christian. If a person doesn't understand the difference between spirituality and maturity, then he can't ever grow as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and do what the Bible says, grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have to understand some terminology. Even as a fisherman, I understand the difference between spinnerbait, crankbait, chatterbait, Carolina rig, drop shot, something like that. These are all nomenclatures for certain ways that you fish. Well, the Christian life, you have to learn what certain words mean, and spirituality is very important. Fellowship is very important. And it's very possible that you are a believer in Jesus Christ, but you're not in fellowship with God because you don't understand the mechanics of spirituality. The first thing that's important in the flat line of your soul is rebound. This is not taught in a whole lot of churches. Very seldom does any pastor stop and say, before we began our worship service this morning, we want to rebound. Now, he might not use those words, but does your pastor ask you to do this? Does he say, "I want you to bow your head and pray and make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life"? Because if you're sitting in the auditorium of a church with unconfessed sin in your life, you have quenched and you are grieving the Holy Spirit, and you're not going to get anything out of the message. I don't care how good he is. If he's not a performer, if he's a good, solid Bible teacher, you're not going to get anything out of it because the Holy Spirit can't do his job. Does your pastor ever say, before we worship, let's bow our heads and make sure we're all in fellowship? That means that you are under control of God the Holy Spirit, that you are not out of fellowship by unconfessed sin in your life. This is what I'm talking about. This is why we got into this position to start with, because we have abandoned the basic principles of the Christian life, and we've gone into this emotional worship. Jeremiah, the prophet of the Old Testament, warned the spiritual leaders of his day with these words from God, and it really sounds a lot like he could be talking to us. Listen to Jeremiah 23, verses 1 and 2. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not attended to them. Thus I'm about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds. A pastor is a shepherd. The members of the church are the sheep, are the flock. And it's his job to shepherd you and protect you and feed you and make sure you're cared for. And that doesn't mean come hold your hand when you get the flu. That's not what it means. It means that he prepares you to be spiritually self-sustaining, that you can stand on your own two feet in the middle of the adversity that you'll face as a believer in Jesus Christ. So failure to feed the flock of God is one of the reasons we have a fog in America. And this is the failure of spiritual leadership, failure to feed the flock of God. It's a serious mistake for any person in the pulpit. The pastor teacher is to watch over his flock, protect his flock from what I call the canine clergy. Who are the canine clergy? The Lord Jesus Christ talked about these dogs of religious canine clergy that sought to devour people. The canine clergy wants to devour you by luring you away from solid, sound biblical teaching, getting you into some sort of emotional appeal that doesn't mean anything. Emotional appeals and social agenda can be fine, but it's not the Christian life. This is called in the Bible doctrine of demons. Demons have doctrine. The Bible says Satan has his own communion table, and he has doctrines that he teaches, and one of them is social media change. That you can change the world. You can't change anybody's sin nature. You can change your actions, your deeds. The Bible says your flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit wars against the flesh. If you can stay in fellowship, if you can grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ, if you can become a mature believer, your light will shine brilliantly through the fog and illuminate the cross of Christ. Listen to Jeremiah 23:16 about not feeding the flock. Jeremiah 23:16, listen not to the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, because they make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Their message is some feel-good emotional message, encouraging their listeners to buy into what is called fake Christianity. One of the writers that I'd like to quote calls it a moralistic therapeutic deism. That's Rachel Bratton, a writer for the Western Journal, and she claims that this worldview of moralistic therapeutic deism has quickly gained prominence across America, and that it's a theology that looks nothing like historical Christianity, despite what people may claim. And I agree with Miss Rachel. It would point out that this is exactly what happens when preachers become performers, when they worry about what they wear, when they worry about how they look, when they worry about how they deliver, when they try to perform and try to get people in the auditorium, pack it out. God proclaimed through Jeremiah 23:21, I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. If they had stood in my counsel, they would have announced my words to my people, and they would have turned them back from their evil ways and evil deeds. And no one's turned anybody back. We keep sliding deeper and deeper and deeper into sin in this country. People that should know better, people that are believers in Jesus Christ, are not executing the Christian life. Their light is not shining. They're not attracting anybody to the cross of Christ. And I'd like to ask that of you. Have you been that sort of person that attracts people to the Lord Jesus Christ? I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Listen carefully. If your song service is longer than the teaching service, you're getting gypped at church. And this is one of the problems. We've got so many people in music. I love good music. But they demand to have all this time. You go to church not to listen to the singing. You go to church to be fed God's word. That's how you grow. Fed God's word. If you want to listen to the singing, buy the tape and put it in your car and drive down the road. Listen that way. But when you're in that auditorium and that pastor can teach you the Bible. I mean, I've been in churches where music leaders got mad at me because I asked them to cut one or two of the songs out of the service and quit going for 30 minutes. Nobody wants to stand there and sing that long. In regards to leaders who are liars, whether they be politicians or preachers, listen to what God's word says. Proverbs 12:32, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. So the first letter of the fog illustration stands for failure of leadership, politically and spiritually. You don't need me to tell you about political failure in this country because you can see it for yourself. You can see the slide that we are sliding into evil socialism and humanism. We've turned away from the very thing that we are established on, and that's freedom of religion in this country. So that now it's even against the law to put a cross up in the middle of the town square. It's against the law to mention Jesus in the school. It's critical, pitiful, pitiful. The second letter of the fog stands for open rebellion to authority within the nation. Open rebellion to authority within the nation. When the rule of law is ignored and rejected, both God's laws and man's laws are violated. For example, in America, in the year 2019 and the year 2020 combined, there were more than 37,000 murders. 37,000 murders. Almost 100,000 cases of rape. Over 1 million stolen automobiles, almost one every minute. And this crime rate is staggering. Crime rate is staggering, and it's much worse even than some third world countries. You know yourself, you're afraid to go to the mall, afraid to where you park. You have to be parked where you can keep an eye on things. People in my city that go to the mall get shot at the mall, and their cars get stolen, especially at Christmas or Thanksgiving when thieves prey on older people. Listen to Hosea 4:1-2. This is what's going on in this country. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Because there is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. Now listen to verse 2. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. That's us. That's exactly what's going on. This is what Hosea wrote as the fifth cycle of discipline came upon the nation Israel. And it's coming upon us, too. I don't have time to go into all of it. But God is disciplining America, I assure you of that. And I assure you that unless we wake up and respond and turn around, we will not exist much longer as a free nation. Because we fit this bill right here. Swearing, lying, killing, stealing, committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Hosea 14:9 said, who's wise? And he would understand these things. Who's prudent? And he would know these things. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressor shall fall therein. These trends in history that I'm talking to you about are indications that we are a sick nation. America is a sick nation, and the vaccine is not something that you can put in a needle. The vaccine must come from the pulpits of churches across America where the Word of God is taught and honored. It must come from the heart of the believers that will listen to it and abide by it, because 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, who are called by my name, the answer is believers. As goes your spiritual life, so goes the future of your nation. Have you forgotten your God? Have you been so preoccupied with the gifts that you forgot who the giver is? Have you fallen into being a casual Christian that goes to church on Sunday like, hello God, goodbye God, see you next week God? Do you think God is a genie in a magic eight ball that'll pop out when you get in trouble and make all your troubles go away? These trends in history are indicators. We're sick. We're not going to survive as a free nation much longer if we continue down this path. This fog is so thick in America, no one can see what's going on. And I don't see any indication that things going on around me are going to change for the better. Because when good becomes evil, and evil is recognized as good, you can bet it's a slippery slope on the road to destruction. And that's where we are today. We're on the slippery slope of the road to destruction. How can we change it? What can we change? Well, we have to go back to failure of leadership in spiritual pulpits, failure of leadership in political positions. What's wrong with asking for God to bless our nation, asking for God to heal our nation? No politician can change it. No politician can make it go away. I don't care who you elect. The only thing that can save us is the grace of God. Only God's word in the hearts and the minds of those people that live in that nation can deliver that nation from the coming disaster. But we're not going to do that because the last part of the acrostic is that God's word is rejected. Political leadership failed. You know, that's exactly what we said. What's the synonym that we're going through now? The acronym, is FOG, failure of leadership, open rebellion, God's word rejected. Finally, here we have it. God's word is being rejected in this nation today. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. We have a lot of fools running around today who think they know better than God. They justify right in his own eyes. That's justification, self-justification. Remember, the three stages to arrogance are always self-justification, self-deception, self-absorption, eventually self-destruction. So self-justification is someone justifying why he's right and why God is wrong. And the way of a fool is the person who says, I'm right, God is wrong. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. He justifies why he does what he does. But he that listens unto the counsel, and I'm saying the counsel of the word of God, is wise. There are many arrogant fools in America. The arrogant person makes up his own rules, justifies his actions. If he wants to commit adultery, he'll justify it by saying, oh, we love each other, and my spouse is not giving me the attention that I need, so it's okay if I have an affair. If he steals, he'll justify why it's okay to steal. If he murders, he'll justify why it's okay to murder. He's a fool. He thinks he's okay. He thinks he's right. He thinks it's okay to steal from you because you got it and he doesn't have it, even though you worked hard to get what you got. He makes his own rules and justifies his actions. The arrogant person does not recognize the consequences for his sinful ideology. What are the consequences? Proverbs 14:16. A wise person is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. Who's the wise person? That's the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who has some scripture in his mind, who understands the plan of God. You know, this is called wisdom in the Bible. And when you have wisdom, you have insight and discernment and understanding. The wise person is the person who understands what this bad decision could do. The wise person may be like you who knows what's going on in this country and doesn't know how to fix it. I'm telling you how to fix it. It has to start with you and your personal life getting serious about spiritual growth and spiritual relationship with your Father. The wise person must be you because you must be cautious and you must turn away from evil. What does that mean? Does that mean sins? Does that mean bad things? No. That's the chaos of the cosmic system. The evil is Satan's plan. Satan's genius, God's genius, is grace. It's always been grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, the Bible says. That's God's plan. But evil always twists grace and distorts grace. And Satan can get you involved in human good schemes, trying to change the face of this country by some sort of works or crusader arrogance, and it won't work. Only the gospel can change a man's heart. But Proverbs 14:16 says a wise person, the mature believer, I would say, is cautious and turns away from evil. He recognizes it when he sees it. He recognizes it when he hears it and says, oh, no, you're not sucking me into that garbage. But this verse goes on to say a fool is arrogant and careless. justifies why he's right and the rest of the world is wrong, and careless about the way he cares for himself. In Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And there are many people like that today. They don't think there's ever going to be, that they're ever going to have to answer for what they're doing. Every politician is going to have to answer for these decisions they're making. Every pastor is going to have to answer for not doing the job. When you have corrupt politicians and corrupt pastors, they've committed detestable acts. The Bible says, their fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They're all corrupt. They've all committed detestable acts, and there's no one that does good. No, not one. Did you know the Bible says all of our good is like a filthy rag in God's eyes? Even the best stuff you can conjure up doesn't impress God, because God is perfectly righteous, perfectly just. He's the essence of holiness. And so your good works is like a filthy rag to God. You're not going to work your way to heaven. You're not going to earn God's forgiveness. It only comes through the cross, through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, he that knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we could be made the righteousness of God through him. The breakdown starts in the home, where no biblical standards are taught. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he would go, and even when he grows older, he won't abandon it. In Deuteronomy 6:6-7, these words I'm commanding you today, they shall be in your heart, and you shall repeat them diligently to your sons, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk up the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up in the morning. You have to teach your children the word of God. Ephesians 6 says, don't hurt your children. Ephesians 6:1-2, children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother, which is right in the Lord. Fathers, do not abuse your children, the Bible says. Don't discipline them unfairly. But it has to start in the home. If you have children or grandchildren, this is where it has to start. You have to give them enough information so that they know what's coming down the road. The cosmic system is in a fog. Confusion and chaos in America like never before. And unless somebody does something, we are in serious trouble. Only the grace of God can deliver us. Starts with your spiritual life, and it can start with you preparing your children and you preparing your grandchildren for what's coming down the road so they'll at least see it and recognize it. Before we get away today, I want to tell you about something that you might want to take advantage of. We have completed the 2020 transcripts of all the Flatline broadcasts, so those are available for you if you'd like to have them. 52 radio shows taught in 2020, all in print in a book. All you have to do is write and ask for that book, and we'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. Also, we've completed a book called Christian Problem Solving, which is a list of radio shows, a transcript of radio shows that deals with each of these 10 problem-solving devices. If you'd like to have Christian Problem Solving transcript book, or you'd like to have the 2020 transcripts of all the radio shows taught in 2020, just let us know. We encourage you to go to the podcast venue and check out our podcast, Spotify, Apple iPod, Anchor, some of these podcast venues. If you go there and look for The Flot Line, you'll find us there, and you can listen to The Flot Line anytime, anywhere, any place across America, even across the world by just going in to do that. I'm grateful that you've given me a few minutes of your time. I hope I haven't bored you. I've tried to be specific. I've tried to be tough. I hope you're listening, and I hope you understand like I do. We're in terrible times. There's a fog across America. A fog, a cosmic system is fogging us in. The leadership is failing us. There's open rebellion, and God's word is being rejected. All this is a fog. And unless something changes, you can say goodbye, America, because it's headed that way. I hope you're listening. You're the answer. You're the solution. Not me. You. Pay attention. Put your life the right way as it should be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama 350. 350-
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Colonoscopy is the most